Welcome to day 216 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we will be reading the very short book called Nahum, or the proper pronunciation actually is from the Hebrew is Nahum. And this book, which is named after the prophet who wrote it, is essentially a prophetic declaration against the Assyrian kingdom, but most specifically the Assyrian capital, which was the city of Nineveh during the time of Sennacherib, who was king of Assyria during Hezekiah's reign and a few others. You will remember when we read the book of Jonah that Jonah the prophet was sent by God to the city of Nineveh to declare the overthrow of that city from the Lord, or the utter destruction of it, and that he walked through the city 3 days across it, declaring in 40 days this city will be destroyed. And then there was an amazing revival that everyone from the king of Nineveh down to the cattle wore sackcloth and ashes and repented and turned to the Lord. And therefore, the city of Nineveh was spared. Well, their loyalty to the Lord didn't last very long. And some 100 years later, which is approximately the time that Nahum was writing this book or this prophetic declaration against Nineveh, they no longer were serving the Lord, and they had continued in their same ways that the Assyrians had pursued for centuries. And that was that the Assyrian kingdom, of which Nineveh was the capital, was a very cruel and oppressive nation. They were known for their cruelty when they conquered another people, another city, another kingdom. Their cruelty was legendary, and they were such a warlike people that conquering and plundering was simply their lifestyle. So the prophet Nahum speaks to them, saying that God was not going to permit their cruelty and wickedness to continue. And essentially, it's a word that God himself would not allow the inhumanity that they were famous for to continue unchecked, and that God would judge and put an end to their wickedness and their hatefulness toward all other people. The prophet Nahum, his very name has the meaning of comfort or consolation. And throughout this book, though it is an indictment of the Assyrians and a declaration that Nineveh would be destroyed, never to be rebuilt again, at the same time, you'll see words of comfort to God's people that God will do righteously and justly and take care of his people, and that those who trust in the Lord will be safe. We will begin today's reading starting at Nahum chapter 1, verse 1. The Oracle of Nineveh, the Book of the Vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is his way, and clouds are the dust beneath his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. Mountains quake because of him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence, the world and all the inhabitants in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of its sight and will pursue his enemies into darkness. Whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. distress will not rise up twice. Like tangled thorns and like those who are drunken with their drink, they are consumed as stubble, completely withered. From you has gone forth one who plotted evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they are at full strength and likewise many, even so they will be cut off and pass away. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no longer. So now I will break his yoke bar from upon you. I will tear off your shackles. The Lord has issued a command concerning you. Your name will no longer be perpetuated. I will cut off idol and image from the house of your gods. I will prepare your grave, for you are contemptible. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace. Celebrate your feasts, O Judah, pay your vows, for never again will the wicked one pass through you. He is cut off completely. Chapter 2. The one who scatters has come up against you. Man the fortress, watch the road, strengthen your back, summon all your strength. For the Lord will restore the splendor of Jacob, like the splendor of Israel. Even though devastators have devastated them and destroyed their vine branches. The shields of his mighty men are colored red. The warriors are dressed in scarlet. The chariots are enveloped in flashing steel when he is prepared to march. And the cypress spears are brandished. The chariots race madly in the streets. They rush wildly in the squares. Their appearance is like torches. They dash to and fro like lightning flashes. He remembers his nobles. They stumble in their march. They hurry to her wall, and the mantelet is set up. The gates of the rivers are opened, and the palace is dissolved. It is fixed. She is stripped, she is carried away, and her handmaids are moaning like the sound of doves beating on their breasts. Though Nineveh was like a pool of water throughout her days, now they are fleeing. Stop, stop, but no one turns back. Plunder the silver, plunder the gold, for there is no limit to the treasure, wealth from every kind of desirable object. She is emptied, yes, she is desolate and waste. Hearts are melting and knees knocking. Also anguish is in the whole body and all their faces are grown pale. Where is the den of the lions and the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion, lioness, and lion's cub prowled with nothing to disturb them? The lion tore enough for his cubs, killed enough for his lionesses, and filled his lairs with prey and his dens with torn flesh. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts. I will burn up her chariots in smoke. A sword will devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the land, and no longer will the voice of your messengers be heard. Chapter 3. Woe to the bloody city, completely full of lies and pillage. Her prey never departs. The noise of the whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheel, galloping horses and bounding chariots, horsemen charging, swords flashing, spears gleaming, many slain, a mass of corpses and countless dead bodies. They stumble over the dead bodies. All because of the many harlotries of the harlot, the charming one, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations by her harlotries and families by her sorceries. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will lift up your skirts over your face and show to the nations your nakedness and to the kingdoms your disgrace. I will throw filth on you and make you vile and set you up as a spectacle. And it will come about that all who see you will shrink from you and say, Nineveh is devastated. Who will grieve for her? Where will I seek comforters for you? Are you better than Noamen, which was situated by the waters of the Nile, with water surrounding her, whose rampart was the sea, whose wall consisted of the sea? Ethiopia was her might, and Egypt too, without limits. Put and Lubim were among her helpers. Yet she became an exile. She went into captivity. Also, her small children were dashed to pieces at the head of every street. They cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound with fetters. You too will become drunk. You will be hidden. You too will search for a refuge from the enemy. All your fortifications are fig trees with ripe fruit. When shaken, they fall into the eater's mouth. Behold, your people are women in your midst. The gates of your land are opened wide to your enemies. Fire consumes your gate bars. Draw for yourself water for the siege. Strengthen your fortifications. Go into the clay and tread the mortar. Take hold of the brick mold. There, fire will consume you. The sword will cut you down. It will consume you as the locust does. Multiply yourself like the creeping locust. Multiply yourself like the swarming locust. You have increased your traitors more than the stars of heaven. The creeping locust strips and flies away. Your guardsmen are like the swarming locust. Your marshals are like hordes of grasshoppers settling in the stone walls on a cold day. The sun rises and they flee, and the place where they are is not known. Your shepherds are sleeping, O king of Assyria. Your nobles are lying down. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and there is no one to regather them. There is no relief for your breakdown. Your wound is incurable. All who hear about you will clap their hands over you, for on whom has not your evil passed continually? This is the end of today's scripture reading and the end of the book of Nahum. The book of Nahum has essentially a singular message, and that is that God is a just God and he will not allow unbridled wickedness to continue forever without there being judgment that will fall upon those who perpetrate it. So in a sense, it's a word not only to the city of Nineveh, which was, as I said, the Assyrian capital at the time of the writing of this book, but also, it's a statement of the position of God that he won't allow just wickedness to go on without end, without a judgment eventually coming upon those who are the perpetrators. And every nation that lived around Syria had experienced its cruelty. And certainly Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel had experienced it as well. And so this was, in a sense, a comfort that God would deal with this wicked people who had absolutely no mercy as they plundered nation upon nation. And you heard the threats that were given to King Hezekiah and the kingdom of Judah, first by announcement by the Syrian king's representative, that Rabshakeh that we heard about last week, how he mocked the God of Israel, how he said no God had ever been able to deliver their people out of the hands of the king of Assyria. And in doing that, he made a very big mistake, putting the God of Israel, Jehovah, the one true God, in the same class as the false idols that the other nations surrounding Judah relied upon. So that was a mistake, attacking the God of Israel as if he was a worthless, impotent God like these false idols. And God defended his own character by dealing with the king of Assyria, supernaturally destroying all the commanders and mighty warriors of the army and sending the king of Assyria back to his nation in shame. And then he was killed in his own temple by his own children. So that was a destruction that came upon them. And that was a mistake he made by speaking such horrific words against the Lord. But more than even that incident in the time of King Hezekiah is this prophecy that was made and came into fulfillment about 80 years after Nahum wrote this prophetic declaration. And when it did come to pass, it came to pass in complete fulfillment. The city of Nineveh was completely destroyed to the point that the ruin of it and the rubble of it wasn't even recognizable. And for a long period of time, it was unknown even where the site of the city of Nineveh was until extensive archaeological excavations were undertaken, and then it was determined to be located approximately a mile east of the Tigris River in what is now the nation of Iraq, near the modern city of Mosul. And it was at that time the pride of Assyria, because it was a magnificently built city with parks and gardens and aqueducts that carried water from hills that were 50 kilometers away, and also with a magnificent palace that was built in it as well. And yet, once this city was destroyed as prophesied by Nahum, it was never rebuilt again. And the word that we found in Nahum chapter 1 verse 3, which is in a way the theme of this book, that the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, and that the Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries, really is a word not only for the past, for these idol-worshipping nations that never would turn to the Lord, but also for the future, as it speaks about truly like the end of time, when God will, after he has been very patient to see if nations would turn their hearts toward him, will eventually not leave the guilty unpunished. So it's a word of prophecy that applied specifically to the city of Nineveh and the Assyrian kingdom, but also to mankind in general, and looking forward to the end of the world and the end of time, when the Lord finally allows his judgments to go forth after having been extremely patient and slow to anger, but waiting to see if mankind will turn towards the Lord. But for us as believers, I think that the verse that is so encouraging to us is Nahum 1 verse 7. And it is this beautiful promise that we can take hold of every single day of our lives. It says this: "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him." And this is a scripture you should memorize. It is a beautiful promise from God for all of us who place our trust in the Lord. The Lord is good. That's the first and primary important word that we need to take hold of. No matter what's happening in life, remember this word: the Lord is good, and he sees everything, and he knows what you're going through. He's a stronghold that you can run to in the day of trouble. You know, there's trouble all around the earth today, and even God's people, those who have placed their trust in him, walk through seasons in their lives where there's great pressures of life. You may be in such a season right now, but you can take hold of this verse that says God's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Stronghold was a place where someone could run to be protected from an enemy that was trying to come against him. So you can run to that stronghold, barricade yourself in the presence of God, and stay there and let the storm that's trying to come against you pass you by as you wait in the presence and in the comfort of the stronghold of God's love for you. And he loves you so very much. And the last part of this verse is precious to my heart. It says, he knows those who take refuge in him. God knows you. He knows that your eyes are looking to him. He knows that your mind is thinking of Him. He knows that your heart is turned toward Him, and He sees the trouble that you're facing right now, and He wants to be the stronghold you run to in the day of trouble. Many people in our society today run to the bank to borrow money, or they run to the doctor to get anti-anxiety medication, or they run to all sorts of places to try to get relief from the pressures of life. And yet God says He's good. And God says about Himself that He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and the righteous can run to it and be safe. And He knows those who take refuge in Him. And you are a person that trust the Lord. You're a person that wants to take refuge in Him, or you wouldn't be listening to my everyday Bible, trying to take hold of God's word for your own life. And He wants you to know that He knows that you take refuge in Him, that you're looking to Him, that you're trusting in Him. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Run to Him. Say, Lord, I need You. I just want to sit in Your presence right now. I just want Your comfort around me. I want You to know my eyes are on You. You will remember in our reading a couple of weeks ago from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that King Jehoshaphat was the leader of Judah, and suddenly he was informed that a massive army was coming out against Jerusalem. And he gathered all of Judah together because they had no natural way of defending themselves. They couldn't fight this huge army that was actually a combination of three different people groups, Ammon and Moab and the Meunites, and they were coming to make war against Jehoshaphat and against Jerusalem. So they gathered all the people together, they fasted and prayed before the Lord, and they all stood in God's presence, and they said to the Lord, "We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on You." And what they were doing in that moment was they were running to the stronghold of God Himself. They were placing all their trust in the Lord and not in themselves to try to deliver themselves from this huge attack, but instead they just ran to the stronghold, to the refuge of God Himself. And the Lord knows those who trust in Him, as Nahum just told us. And you know the end of that story, that God supernaturally delivered Jehoshaphat and Jerusalem and the people of Judah out of the hands of that massive army by supernatural intervention. God was truly a stronghold in the day of trouble that they could run to. And He knows those who take refuge in Him. And when He sees a person taking refuge in Him and not trying to take matters into their own hands or try to deliver themselves in their own strength or in their own mind, then God moves on the behalf of those who place their trust in Him. Some years ago, a missionary couple was working in the South Pacific Islands that are now known as Vanuatu. And one night, hostile natives surrounded their mission station with the intention of burning down the mission house and killing the missionary couple. The couple, John Patton and his wife, prayed during that night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were astonished to see out the window that the entire group of natives was turning and leaving without ever having touched the house. Well, about a year later, the chief of that tribe was converted to Christ. And the missionary, remembering that terror-filled night, asked the chief why it was that they never burned the house down as they had intended. And the chief was shocked when he asked him. He said, "Well, who were all those men with you there?" Well, John Patton knew that they were alone in that mission station. There were no other men around. But the chief told him that they were afraid to attack the house because they had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with swords circling the mission station. Just as we have read here in the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him. God was that stronghold for that missionary couple. He knew they took refuge in Him alone. And in that day of trouble, He completely delivered them. He will do the same for you. Keep your eyes on the Lord in the midst of the worst situation you may be facing. Run to the Lord. Let Him be that stronghold in the day of trouble for you, because He knows those who take refuge in Him. God bless you and give you a victorious week.